are going to be ending in our messages in the book of Romans today. Today is the 21st message that we have shared with you in the out of the book of Romans. Paul has been writing to the Christians there in Rome and been sharing with them that they've really messed up, and they thought that they were wise, but all along they were becoming fools. He shared with them how they can know that they are right with God and that they should be living their lives in 3D, having three dimensions, a past, a present, and a future. He shared with them how they should be living their lives in an obedient way, and then he used himself as an example when he shared the struggle of a saved soul. He said, "The things I want to do, I don't do, and the things I don't want to do, that's what I end up doing." So Paul used himself, and he shared then the things that God does and the principles that we should live by. Well, today we're going to look at something that's very special. It's as though Paul has simply taken a picture of the perfect church and sent that picture to the church in Rome. These are the marks of a strong fellowship. Now, as we look at the 15th chapter of Romans, we see that this is not only a continuation, but it is more of a synopsis and a conclusion to everything that he has said up to this point. So, he is trying to share with them that every Christian in the body of Christ, every Christian in the church, has a specific responsibility to the church. Every Christian has a responsibility. It's not just about coming to church and worshiping on Sunday. It's not about just coming to church on Sunday morning to Sunday school or Sunday morning worship or Sunday night worship or Wednesday night Bible study. It's not about just doing those things. It's much bigger than that. It's about being used by God. God has gifted us in a specific way, so that we can use the gifts that he's given us, the talents that he's given us, through the personality that he has blessed us with, and all of the things that we have experienced in life. When you put all of those things together, it makes us unique. And he has placed us in his body in a specific way so that he can use us to build his kingdom. Now, if you have no position, no job, if you don't have a function within the body, I might ask you, why did God save you? Amen? He saved us to bring glory to him, but it's not just about existing. It's about being used by him to build his kingdom. So what Paul did is he took a picture of the perfect church and he sent that to the church at Rome. Now, we might say that, well, they needed that. We're much different than they are. Well, yes and no. We are in many ways different than the church at Rome, but we are in many ways just like them as well. So these are the five marks of a strong fellowship. I'd like to have you turn with me this morning to Romans, the 15th chapter. Now I'm going to try to get through these 5 points that I was going to preach last Sunday in Sunday morning and Sunday night's time frame. So we might get out of here by, well, 2 o'clock. No, just kidding. Let's all stand in honor of the reading of God's Word, please. Romans chapter 15, beginning now in verse 1. "We then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak, and not to please ourselves. Let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to edification. For even Christ pleased not himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of them that reproached thee fell on me. For whatsoever things were written after a time were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. Now the God of patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded one toward another according to Christ Jesus, that you may with one mind and one mouth glorify God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Wherefore, receive you one another as Christ also received us to the glory of God. Now I say that Jesus Christ was a minister of the circumcision for the truth of God, to confirm the promise made unto the fathers, and that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy, as it is written, for this cause I will confess to thee among the Gentiles and sing unto thy name. And again he said, rejoice, ye Gentiles, with his people. And again, praise the Lord, all ye Gentiles, and laud him, all ye people. And again Isaiah said, there shall be a root of Jesse, and he that shall rise to reign over the Gentiles, in him shall the Gentiles trust. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you so much. We thank you for this entire passage, this book that Paul wrote to the Roman church. Father, he wrote that to us as well. And Father, we pray that we might, through your inspiration, be able to take this unto our lives and that our lives might be bettered. That we might truly be the body that you've called us to be. That every individual, every believer in this place, Father, would be serving you and have some capacity of work within this body. And Father God, we thank you that you have blessed us with your presence today. We thank you, Father, for all the hymns that were sung and the worship that you brought to our hearts. We pray now that you will bless each one with understanding and that we might see how we fit into this body this day. For it's in Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. You may be seated. Paul has taken a snapshot of the church at Rome, or a snapshot of the church, and sent it to Rome so that he might say, this is what a church looks like. This is how a church functions. This is how everything is supposed to work. The first mark is this. The mark of a strong fellowship is this. The strong bear weaknesses. Strong bear the weaknesses of those that are weak. Look with me at our first three verses. We then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak, and not to please ourselves. Let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to edification. For even Christ pleased not himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of them that reproached thee fell on me. The strong are supposed to carry the load. And the strong in this church do carry the load. The average statistic is that out of 100%, 20% of the people do 80% of the work. That is the strong carrying the load. Now, what I mean by that is this. See, if the strong are to carry the load, they are carrying the load for those that can't carry the load. They are carrying the load for the weak. And when I talk about the weak, and when Paul is addressing the weak, he's not talking about those that are weak in faith. He's simply saying those that are less mature. See, when I got saved, I was not as mature as I am today. When you got saved, you were less mature than what you are today. If you have been growing, you have been maturing. And the thing that happens with the weak, the thing that happens with the immature, are they tend to judge others. They tend to grumble. They tend to criticize. They tend to murmur. They tend to look around at others rather than looking at self. That's what Paul is talking about. We are to bear the weak and we are to lift them up. Now that word bear is the same word that is used when a parent picks up a child and carries that child because the child cannot go where the parent is taking them. Get the picture here. When our daughter goes in the grocery store, she carries her daughter with her. Notice the mother carrying the daughter to the nursery right now. See, that she's bearing the weakness of her daughter. She's carrying her daughter. See, when they get out of the car, my daughter just can't say to her daughter, "Hey, let's go in the store and buy the things that we need tonight." Well, yeah, Emma can probably walk, and Jenna, she goes like this. She kind of walks like Frankenstein yet. But she really can't get along. She can't walk up and down the aisles. She can't do the things that... So what does mom have to do? Mom has to pick her up and bear her weakness because she is unable to do it. And that's what Paul is talking about here. A mark of a strong fellowship is the fact that the strong carry the load. And they do in this church carry the load. Now that is to not take the responsibility off of those that are weak or those that are less mature. They still have a responsibility. Now, how is this done? Well, I'm glad you asked. It's done by not pleasing self. It's done by not pleasing self. It's not about us. It's all about Him. It's not where we're going. It's not about what we are doing. It's not about what we want to buy. It's all about Him, and it's not about us. See, many times, Christmas time is all about merchandise. Amen? Come on. Be honest here. It's all about buying gifts. And so when I have one gift that I take care of, or one person I take care of, and that's Kathy, and I try to think, what would she like? And so I'm thinking a power saw. I'm thinking, you know, something of that nature. And that if she doesn't want to use it, well, I would be glad to do that for her. But see, it's not about me. It should be about her. Amen? And see, that's the thing that we are to focus on. When the strong are bearing the weaknesses of the weak, it's not about us. It's about Him. He is our example. And that's why our pattern is Christ. Now, some people would say, in that evening hour, right before Jesus was arrested, that Jesus had a weak moment in His life. When He knelt and He prayed, "Father, if this cup can pass from me, nevertheless, not my will but thine be done." Some people would say that that was a weak moment for Christ because He was wanting to do something else other than what God wanted. And I say they are incorrect, because this was a very strong moment for Christ. He knew what God wanted, And he knew that there was no way that he could oppose that, or that he should oppose that, being the Son of Almighty God. And that's why he said, if there is any other way that this could be accomplished, and I know that there's not any other way, not my will, but yours be done. What a strong, strong statement that is. Our pattern should be Christ. He bore our infirmities. The sins that we have, he took upon himself. And he was not thinking about himself, because when he was on the cross, we were on his mind. Our pattern is Christ. Secondly, we see the second mark is the fact that everyone studies the Scriptures. Look with me, please, in verse 4. For whatsoever things were written after a time were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. The Scriptures were written for one purpose and one purpose only. One purpose. Everyone say one. One purpose. And that was for our learning. The Scripture was given that we would have instruction, that we would have direction, that we would have guidance. Why? Because we need it. Now, what are we to be instructed about? How is he to guide us? How is he to help us in the path that he has chosen for us? Well, first of all, we need patience. See, our natural human instinct is not to be patient. We are very impatient. We don't like to wait very much. Amen? When I go to the doctor's office, I don't like to have to wait for the doctor. No. I think the doctor ought to wait for me. That's just the way I think, though. See, I mean, anyway, we'll go to that topic some other day. But we are very impatient. And society actually helps us in our infirmity. It helps us to be impatient. Burger King says we can have it our way right away. Amen? Boy, that's helpful, isn't it? Jimmy John's is freaky fast. I'll tell you what, you can pull up to Jimmy John's, you can give them your order, they'll say it's $10.20. I will zoop, get up to the drive, the window real quick, give them the money, and by the time they give me my change, they've got the sandwich back in my hand. It's like, oh my goodness, really? You are that fast? Come on, slow down just a little bit. It feeds us and makes us even more impatient. The Word helps us to do away from that so that we can be the patient people that God wants us to be. God's Word also instructs us to have comfort. The word comforter, parakletos, this is paraklesos, which is talking about receiving comfort, and as we receive comfort, we give comfort. As we have received that comfort from God and through an individual, we are to comfort others. You know, there are times that I'm not very comforting. You know, Kathy's been having a little bit of indigestion thing going on here, and I'll ask her, how's your stomach doing? She'll go, it's not very much better. And I'll go, well, I have nothing. I'm sorry. I just don't have it. Hope you get to feeling better later. That's about it. As we receive comfort, we should give comfort. That's why I need the Word, to help me to be a person that can give comfort, because that does not come to me naturally. That's why I need direction. That's why I need guidance. That's why I'm such a mess. That's right. Thank you. She agrees with me. Once a year, she agrees with me. That's good. Okay, third thing is hope. We need direction and guidance for hope, because hope is comes from something bigger than us, something that is beyond this world, something that is beyond all of our problems. Well, thirdly, we need to see that the mark is everyone works for harmony. Look with me, please, in verses 5 and 6. Now the God of patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded one toward another according to Christ Jesus, that you may with one mind and one mouth glorify God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Harmony does not mean uniformity. Write that down. It doesn't mean uniformity. Harmony means that everyone is going in the same direction. Everyone has the same mission. Everyone has the same purpose. Look with me, please, in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. And I want you to read just a few scriptures that will bring light to what Paul is saying here. He says in 1 Corinthians 1 verse 10, "Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment." Look with me, please, in 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 11. "Finally, brethren, farewell. Be perfect, be of good comfort, be of one mind, live in peace, and the God of love and peace shall be with you." Look with me in 1 Peter, please. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 8. "Finally, be all of one mind, having compassion one of another, love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous." Now, what Paul is talking about, he's trying to say we need to be of one mind, of one voice. We need to be going the same direction, but he's not talking about uniformity. God is not glorified by a bunch of robots that are doing the same thing, thinking the same thing, saying the same thing, all in a monotone. There, God is not glorified that way when we're just robotic. God is not interested in that. No. No, God has blessed us so much because He has given us gifts. And that's why He's using each believer in their giftedness. Write that down. See, there are basically seven gifts. And we've gone through them before, and we won't take time to go through it today. But seven basic gifts, He's also given us a different personality. And there are basically four personalities. Now you take the seven gifts and the four personalities, not everyone has the same gift or even that same giftedness. There's a blend of gifts, a blend of personality. And then you look at all the things that you have experienced in life. You put all of that together, makes us so different and so unique. And God has placed us in the body for His glory. Let me show you how it works. The immature hand says, the immature hand, "Would you look at those feet? All those feet do is make a bunch of noise as they walk down the street. They complain because the shoes are too tight. And that they think they have to carry the whole load. Why, I am so creative. I can draw lines straight, or I can draw lines curvy. I can draw perfect circles. Why, I can even draw the picture of my own face. That's how talented my hand is." That's the immature hand, speaking about a member of the body. Why, the immature foot says, "Who does the hand think they are? Why, they don't have to carry any of the load. They don't have to go and be cold. No, they got pockets that they can put their hands into and never get cold. Who do the hands think they are? After all, they'd be nothing without the eyes. They'd be nothing without the brain. Who do the hands really think they are? See, we have all received gifts, a special giftedness from God, a special personality from God. We've had things happen in our lives, and when you put all those things together, He has placed us in the body to bring glory and honor to Him so that we can all go in one direction singing one song, but in a four-part harmony. That's what's glorious. That's what Paul is talking about here. The mark of a strong fellowship is that everybody works for harmony. And notice, once again, our pattern is Christ. Christ never did anything out of sync with Almighty God. He was always harmonious with the Father. Fourthly, we need to see that everyone accepts one another. Look with me in our main text, verses 7 through 12. Wherefore, we receive one another as Christ also received us to the glory of God. Now I say that Jesus Christ was a minister of the circumcision for the truth of God, to confirm the promises made unto the Father, and that the Gentiles might glorify God for His mercy, as it is written, "For this cause I will confess to thee among the Gentiles and sing unto thy name." And again he said, "Rejoice, ye Gentiles, with His people." And again, "Praise the Lord, all ye Gentiles, and laud Him, all ye people." And again, Isaiah said, "There shall be a root of Jesse, and he that shall rise to reign over the Gentiles, in him shall the Gentiles trust." The first thing, a mark of a strong fellowship, is that there's no discrimination. There is no discrimination. There's no Jew or Greek. There's no bond or free. There's no black or white. There is no wealthy or poor. Look with me at Galatians chapter 3, verse 28. Galatians 3:28. "There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond nor free, there is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus." Look also at Ephesians chapter 2, verse 13. "But now in Christ Jesus, you who sometimes were afar off are made near by the blood of Christ. For He is our peace, who has made both one and has broken down the middle wall of the partition between us." There is no discrimination. Now, accept means to receive. That's what that word accept means. That we are to accept everyone. And that's the mark of a strong fellowship, is a fellowship accepts everyone. And they know how valuable they are. Now, let me tell you something. God has taken me to task many times because of my preconceived thoughts, all right? Because of the way I was raised, because of the way I was taught. God has had to take me to the woodshed several times. He still does on occasion, because there are times when I will see someone, I will have a thought that is that I shouldn't have. It's not a race thing. It's not a person thing. It's just an attitude. It's elevating oneself above that individual and thinking, "What is this? Why is this? Don't they know the difference?" And then God will slap me and hurt me. Many times, I will think, if they were truly a Christian, they wouldn't be living like that, or they wouldn't be doing that. And then I have to see that when I'm pointing my finger at someone, I've got several pointing back at myself. Does that ever happen to you? Yeah. And God will say to me, "How dare you think of them that way? They're not like you. Praise the Lord." If everyone was like you, oh my goodness, can you imagine what this world would be like? Yeah. Anyway, God has taken me to task many times because of those preconceived notions. And I know God has taken you to task as well. Because God is wanting His body to be elevated beyond that, where everyone is accepted. See, when someone walks in that's skunky, you know what I'm talking about, that doesn't live as well as some of us do, we tend to look down upon them. We tend to maybe have some pity for them. They don't want pity. No, they don't want our pity. They want to be equal. You know, when I walk into some place, I want to be their equal. But there have been times I've walked into places and I have felt that I'm not their equal. Oh my goodness. That will tear apart at your soul. Kathy babysits two little beautiful black children. And the father is a coach with Brian Edgar at Belleville West. That's how the connection was made. Anyway, we've gotten very close with Ramon, and that's the father's name, also the son's name. We've had several discussions. You know what? There's a lot we can learn from people if we will just take the time to sit down and talk with them. There's a lot that we can learn if we kick off our shoes and start wearing their shoes. There's a lot we can learn. That's why it's important that the mark of a strong fellowship is accepting everyone. Well, lastly, we need to see that everyone is filled with God's hope. And I'm going to close. Everybody's going, thank God. Verse 13, now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. Paul is talking about both agent and content. Agent and content. Now, as we look at agent, he's talking about God himself, that God is the author of all hope. God is the sustainer of all hope. He's talking about the agent, God Almighty himself. But not only is he talking about agent, he's talking about content. Because it is God himself that we are filled with that brings us that hope. It's the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit that lives within us that brings us that hope. And that's why we are filled with three things, and I've got to go through them real quick. Joy, peace, and hope. Talk about joy. Our grandkids are very, very active. Friday night, the two girls had a music program at the Maryville Christian Academy. And so Kathy went to the Christmas program. Isaac had a basketball game at St. Peter and Paul's Catholic Church in Collinsville. So I went to see Isaac play basketball. So we kind of divided and conquered, so to speak. So I'm there, and the program is over. Kathy goes home. Amanda and the two girls come to the basketball game to see Isaac play and to be there for like the last quarter. And so they come in, and they eye Papa. Now here's Addison. Oh. Amanda had done some makeup on her. Oh my goodness, what a beautiful, beautiful little girl. I don't care if she is my granddaughter. I'm not prejudiced at all. But she came up and I helped her up the steps and she put her arms around me and gave me a big hug and a kiss on the cheek. And by the time she did that, Kinsley was up and she had her arms around me and she was kissing on me. And it didn't matter what Isaac was doing out on the basketball floor. I did not care. I was filled with the joy of having my granddaughters just loving on me. Oh my goodness, nothing sweeter than that. When time stops and God gives you a moment like that, that's what God is wanting with us. That we are filled with joy and peace and hope. Because it is His presence in our lives that makes that difference. That's why it's a mark of a strong fellowship when we are all filled with God's hope. So today, I pray that God has been able to show you those areas in your life that need to change. Maybe there's a few things that we need to allow Him to change in our lives to make us the people, the believer that He wants us to be.